If you have your Bibles, I want you to look with me in the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. I was thinking about revival, and I was thinking about when revival would be, and I thought about we had to prepare for revival, and I thought about in the Bible, when was a good revival? Well, it wasn't exactly a revival, but I guess it was on the day of Pentecost. I thought about Pentecost. I tell you, as a preacher, we all desire that we'd have days like Pentecost, to where so many people got saved, people got right with God. So I went to the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 2, want to read that to you. And I saw all the things that I believe we need in order to prepare for revival. And I pray today that God will speak to your heart as I preach to you on the subject, let's prepare for revival. The Bible said in verse number 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came sounds from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, and the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Our Father, Lord, we do thank you for the day. We thank you for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together. And Lord, I pray today that you would just anoint my lips. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to say what needs to be said. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. But Lord, I desire revival. I hear of people being saved. I hear revivals breaking out. But Lord, I want to see it happen here. I want to see it happen in the hearts and lives of our people. Lord, the only way that's going to happen is for all to get together and be in one spirit, one unity to work together to see you work. And Lord, I pray that you'd have your will and way, guide and direct, we pray. We'll thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. The word Pentecost means 50th. It refers to the Jewish feast held 50 days after the second day of the Passover. It's often called the Feast of Weeks, and I'll not turn to the scripture there. There's another place, it's called the Feast of Harvest. Literally what Pentecost was, it was a day of thanksgiving to mark the end of harvest. And I tell you today, anytime you're harvesting, it's always good to give thanks. And I believe when we come to the house of God, we have a lot to be thankful for. It was literally a holy Sabbath day. Two loaves of bread were made from new wheat, and two yearling lambs were waved before the Lord as a wave offering, but basically for a thank offering. You know, we've got so much to thank God for today. I could just preach on thankfulness for the rest of the time, because God surely has been good to us in so many ways, and I'm grateful for what He's done. But praising God, they were praising Him for His grace. They were praising Him for His giving to them in a good harvest, providing their every need. And I like what the Bible said. It said, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. The day of Pentecost occurred, and we find over in Acts chapter 1, verse number 3. I'm going to ask you to turn. We're just going to turn to a few pages there in Acts. But I want you to read it with me so you see it. The Bible said in the third verse, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now Jesus was with them after He had arisen from the grave. He was with them 40 days before He ascended back to heaven. 10 days after the ascension is when He ascended back into heaven, but 50 days after the resurrection. It was on this day that was set aside to praise the Lord for giving His people a great harvest. The Lord began to harvest lost souls. And I tell you, we read in the book of Acts the people that got saved. And I don't know about you, but I've never seen it that way. I've seen groups get saved, and I know there's a lot of people get saved, and a lot of these bigger churches bring in people, but many times 5,000 in one day that truly get born again. But again, the Lord began to harvest the lost souls. And you know, we ought to thank God. In fact, we ought to be praying more for the lost today than we ever have. The Bible teaches us that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I'm afraid today we get so lax. We get so comfortable in our church, and we've got everything we need. We have workers. We've got organization. We've got all that. And that's wonderful, and we could not do it without it. But friend, we need a burden and a passion for lost people in order that they may get saved and we may praise the Lord for bringing them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. At Pentecost, the world changed literally forever. It was never going to be the same again. Amazing things took place on the day of Pentecost. Now, I know in our text, the charismatic friends of ours, they zero in on the miracles of tongues. But I think it's self-explanatory if you read chapter 2 in verses 1 through 8. They believe, many of the people believe, that God expects all of us to speak in unknown tongues. Tongues was not the primary miracle of the day. The primary miracle of the day of Pentecost was people getting saved. The primary purpose of Pentecost, principle of Pentecost, is they spoke with boldness the word of God. And yet here's people speaking in tongues, and they say, well, God wants us to speak in tongues. Tongues was never given to be assigned to the church. The tongues came from the Lord himself, according to 1 Corinthians 14:22. Tongues are mentioned in the book of Acts always when a new group of people is brought into the church. We find the Jews in Acts number 2, it's mentioned. He mentions that when the Samaritans are introduced in Acts chapter 8, the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10, and the disciples of John in Acts number 19. Tongues were designed to let the Jews know that they were being judged because of their disobedience to the Lord. The Bible said in Isaiah 28:11, and I just want to get past this because I know a lot of people have questions about it. But the Bible said in Isaiah 28:11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people. In 1 Corinthians 14:21, in the new law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. Yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Now I want you to know, understand here, when he spoke in these unknown tongues, he was speaking in a language to where everybody of every language could understand. If you read that, it's very plain in verse number 8 of our text. And how hear we, every man, in our own tongue wherein we were born. If you read chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, it's the love chapter. And when you get down to the verse number 8, it says tongues have ceased. Tongues is not for us today. What God wants us to do is to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. He wants us to be able to operate in the power and the Spirit of God. He wants us to tell people that he died on the cross for them and get them saved by the grace of God. Now, we can never have another Pentecost. We cannot duplicate Pentecost, and that's not what I'm advocating this morning. I'm advocating that what we need is revival. We need a touch from heaven. We need to hear from God. And the only way that's going to happen is when God's people, Victory Baptist Church, get to the point in our lives to where we desire revival and where we want to see something happen. We live in a day, and honestly, I hate to say it, but so many times we find ourselves in being in a position of not knowing what to do or how to do it. But today, God wants us to do what he'd have us to do because he's called us in such a way. We cannot duplicate it. But we can do what God can do and will do through us if we put our faith and trust in him. We can't go back to Jerusalem. We can't. I know there's people who go to the Holy Land. That's a wonderful thing. But we don't have to go back to Jerusalem to have revival. We will never go back and enter the upper room. We'll never be told to wait for the Spirit of God because the Spirit of God's already been given to us. The Bible said to those that received the power of the Spirit of God when they got saved, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. People talk about the baptism of the Spirit. I believe when a person gets saved, you get the baptism of the Spirit. The Spirit of God moves in and takes up residence in your heart. The Holy Ghost has already come. When Jesus ascended back into heaven, he told his disciples, he said, listen, I go to prepare a place for you, but I'm coming back for you. But he said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll send the Holy Spirit that he may guide you and teach you and direct you in all that you do. We cannot duplicate the miracles of that day. I don't think we ought to try to duplicate miracles, by the way, anyway. I will say this. Somebody said the other day to me, I heard somebody speaking, and they said, God doesn't do miracles like he used to be. Bay, I beg your pardon, friend. I tell you, I may not have seen nobody literally raised from the dead, but I've seen a bunch of dead people spiritually be raised to life everlasting because they got born again by the Spirit of God. Their life was changed, and there was a difference that was made in their life. And you could see what was taking place and going on. We can duplicate the conditions that existed among the people on that day and in those days. But I believe today what we need is what took place at Pentecost. I don't think the issue of the tongues thing, even speaking to unknown nations, pretty much everybody, well, mostly everybody speaks the same language. And there may be some. I try to keep Spanish tracts. We have an obligation to people that speak Spanish. We have an obligation to anybody in the world that needs to hear the gospel, and that's everybody. But I believe we need another Pentecost. And we can, I believe, we can't go back to Pentecost, but we can create an atmosphere like the one that existed in the church that day. We'll see Him move in the power like He did in those days. And friend, today somebody said, well, God just don't work like He used to. God just don't save like He used to. You're absolutely right. But the problem is not God. God is still the same today, yesterday, and today and forever. And if there's a problem, we're the problem because we're not doing what we need to do to obey the commands of God. The Bible said there was one striking characteristic of the early church. Listen to me carefully. The Bible said on Pentecost, they were all together with one accord. Now, I'm going to tell you, to get people in the church to be together in one accord may take a lot of work. But friend, that's the way it ought to be in every church. It's a God-fearing church, a God-Bible-preaching church, a church that believes that Jesus died on the cross for their sin. We ought to work together with one accord. We're not here today to compete with one another. Thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for people that do what they do. But I thank the Lord for the people that can fill in and do what they do when they do it. Listen, we're doing it not for man. We're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to be all in one accord. And what is one accord? It's seeing the gospel is presented and that people are saved and things are happening in our midst. I'll give you 4 points quickly this morning. In order to have revival, here's what's going to have to happen. We're going to have to be united in a purpose. The Bible said that they waited on the Lord together. Go back to chapter number 1, look at verses 4 and 5. The Bible said, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days thence. I want you to understand, they waited together. And that day they had to wait for the power of God to come upon them before they were sent out in order that they might witness. And I tell you today, if we get ahead of God, we're going to get in trouble. If we try to go out in our own strength, in our own ability, we're going to be in trouble. But when we wait together and we do what God would have us to do, it ought to be the same trait that marks the church today. Friend, we ought to be working together for the cause of Christ. That's what we did yesterday, trying to help with the purlieu and things together. And I'm not saying the purlieu is the most spiritual thing we do. It is not by any means, other than we do help young people. But yet we were able to work together. Yesterday we had our people worked seamlessly yesterday together. Everybody had a certain job and they were doing it. But it should not matter whether we're stirring purlieu or whether we're preparing for revival in the church. We ought to all be of one accord and of one heart and of one mind. And we ought to be pulling together. And the one goal ought to be, it ought not to be how we can outdress one another or what we have that somebody else don't have. It ought to be that everybody that comes through the doors of the house of God hear the word of God, and if they're lost, they get saved. And if they don't, if they're already saved, that they come through the house of God through the doors, and they get to the point that God speaks to their heart and brings revival in their heart in order that they might do what is right. We all have different functions, but we should all have the same goal. It makes no difference what it is. Friend, our goal today, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. I tell you today, it's not about me. It's not about anybody in this church. And most of the time, I don't recognize people because most people tell me, preacher, I don't want you to recognize me. I don't do it for me. I do it for the Lord. And that's the way you ought to do it. But I believe today that we ought to understand that we're striving together. We all have different functions. There's some that can sing. There's some that can lead singing. There's some that can't. You saw that. But we find today there's people that can do all kind of things. But I'm grateful today that God works through all of us to do what needs to be done. And we don't do it for self-glory. We do it for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the man in the Bible named Diotrephes over in the book of 3 John? Boy, he wanted to be prevalent. He wanted everybody to see him. He wanted to be in charge of everything. Go read that. You'll see what he was. He kind of was a glory hound, if you would. Then we see over in James and John in Mark chapter 10, verse 35 through 37. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, coming to him saying, Master, We would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever ye shall desire. And he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? And listen to what they said. They said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on the right hand and the other on the left hand in glory. Well, how spiritual they were. They were more worried about the position they was going to get in heaven beside the Lord or at the table. They were more concerned about the position than they was exalting the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, I thank the Lord for our church, and I'm not thinking particularly about anybody here that way, but I know there's churches where people want to get the glory. They want to be in charge. They want people to know that they have everything under control and they're doing it. And you can tell it by their actions. And a lot of people are doing a lot of things, but most of the time, they've humbled themselves to the point they understand that everybody's working together. We don't need to get caught up in all the antics. When you're called to do something, just do what God's called you to do. And if we're going to have revival, friend, God's people is going to have to come to the point where we're going to have to purpose that we're going to give ourselves to Him. I tell you today, I thank the Lord always for the offerings. It takes it to operate. But I tell you, the greatest offering we could ever take is for every member of Victory Baptist Church to wholly give themselves to the Lord. He said, I want to be a part of that, and I want to do what needs to be done. Yet we have different ideas. Satan is a divider. Christ is a uniter. And I'm grateful today that even though Satan divides us in all that we do, Christ unites us in the fact that we come together and we seek His will and seek His face. The second thing I want you to notice, go back to chapter number 1, verse number 14. The Bible said in verse number 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with His brethren. You know what? They prayed together. You know, there's an old saying, used to see it on billboards, hadn't seen one lately. But there used to be billboards up that said, the family that prays together stays together. Can I take that a step further? The church that prays together stays together. I tell you today, more than anything in the world, we need to be a praying church. We need to pray for our needs, and I think it's all right for us to pray for our needs. But we need to pray for the needs of others. Nothing builds unity in the church anymore than carrying one another's burdens to the Lord. Friend, we've got people in our church today that desperately need prayer. They're going through difficult times. They're experiencing things that perhaps we're not experiencing. But we need to remember to pray for them. Remember what Galatians 6 said? It said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, which are spiritual, restore such as one in the spirit of meekness. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. He said, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. I'm going to tell you, you start praying for somebody that has a need. You start helping somebody that has a need. And before long, you'll form a bond between you and that person like you've never had before. Because prayer unites us and brings us together. We need purpose, but if we're going to have revival, we need prayer. That's kind of where I'm going to be zeroing in on Sunday nights till the revival comes. I believe we need to pray. I believe we need to pray like we've never prayed before. We need to expect God, not praying to be sounding brass and tinkling cymbal, but praying and seeking the power of God, seeking the will of God, in order that He might hear. We pray for others. By the way, when we pray for others, we're less focused on our own problems. Sometimes people come and they got a passel of problems. You know, good advice? Well, just start praying for somebody. You start praying for somebody, you'll find out your problems not as big as you thought they were. You start praying for somebody else, you'll find your problems maybe don't even exist. Philippians 2, chapter 1 through 4. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, he said, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. If we're going to have a revival, we need to start thinking about others. The Bible said, Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgiving way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer will be for others. We're so caught up in this self self-image society. We're caught up with, and again, I know I'm not saying all of it's bad. I know people can use it for good things. But friend, the majority of people today is stuck on themselves more than they are God. They're bragging on themselves more than they are Jesus. And friend, today Jesus said, I've got to be lifted up. We need to be talking about revival. We need to be praying for revival. We need to be purposing to have revival. And by the way, you said, well, I can't make the church have revival. No, but you can help start it, because every one of us individually that gets right with God, it will spread. And God will use us as we go. Mighty quiet, and I'm not trying to be ugly, but I'm just telling you the truth. This is what the Bible has to say. The Bible said they were united in power. Go to chapter 2. Verses 3 and 4. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. Notice what it was. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So we need to purpose together. What are we having revival for? It's not just a meeting. It's not so we can just, boy, Brother Tim comes, he'll preach. You're going to get the Word of God, I promise you that. And boy, somebody walk out here and say, man, that was, boy, he can preach. Boy, he's good. Man, he ought to come more often. That'd be great. But I'm going to tell you something, if that's all you got out of it, you didn't get what you're supposed to get. When you come to the house of God, it's not so much, it's wonderful to have good preaching, and I know he'll give you some, but I tell you, it's even better when you let God speak to your heart and you open your heart to do what God would have him to do. But they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Friend, the Bible teaches us, be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. I'm afraid today, everything in this world has taken the place of the house of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything you can imagine, people today are not deterred at all by the things that are going on, and yet we see today that we've turned away from the very thing that God one day, that God set aside for us to worship him and be thankful for all he's done. But here's the key. You being filled with the Spirit of God. Me being filled with the Spirit of God. And can I say to you today, I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. I need this as much as anybody. I probably need it more than anybody. And I'm grateful today, but they preach the same message. Look at verse 11 of chapter 2. He said, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Isn't it amazing today that the Word of God is being preached in Brazil and Mexico and China and Japan and all over the world? The Word of God, the same Word of God we preach. It may be written in another language, but it's the same wonderful words of God that we're able to present to those around about us. We ought to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit, we'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll preach the same message. They believe the same things. Look at chapter 2, verse 41. 41 through 44. The Bible said, then they gladly. That's what revival is, by the way. That ought to be this morning. Then they gladly received his word and were baptized. And the same day, there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. Well, we don't quite have 3,000 here this morning. But it sure be nice to have 50 people saved. Now, I doubt we've got 50 people in here that's lost. But I tell you, it's our business to get the lost here so that they could get saved. But he goes on, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers and fear, something we don't have much of these days. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed with what? Were together. You know, isn't that amazing? We'll do the same. We'll believe the same things. There's just some things we can disagree about, certain things. You can even disagree about some interpretation of the Bible if you like. But there's certain interpretation of the Bible you got to be together on, because you can't change. I say you can have your interpretation. There's only one interpretation, and that's God's interpretation. We need to understand what God's interpretation is. But as we come to study the Word of God, we believe the same things. Don't we all believe that Jesus died on the cross? Don't we believe that he was buried and he rose again? Don't we believe, I'm getting ahead of myself there, because he was born of a virgin. He went to the cross. He was buried. He rose again the third day. Those are essential. We must all believe those things, and in believing them, we must share them. They carried the same burdens. Look at the latter part of verse 44. And they had all things common, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat the meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They carried the same burdens. They loved the same things. Friend, I tell you today, it's not about, and I hear preachers preach it, and I preach it too, it's not a matter about what color the carpet is. It's not a matter about what color you pad the pews or all those things. And those become big things in churches that really cause divisions. It's all about whether the Word of God is being preached, and not whether the Word of God is being preached, but whether the people are responding to the hearing of the Word of God and their lives are changing. One of the problems in the modern church today is members are in different stages of spiritual life. And there's nothing really we can do about that and nothing we want to do about it because we want new people to keep coming in, right? But some are saved, but still carnal in their way. They still haven't learned. And by the way, I don't expect a Christian to get saved today and know everything the Bible teaches in a month. It takes time. It takes work. It takes prayer. Some are immature. Some are saved and growing. So you got the immature group over here, and you've got the growing group over here. And that's where the growing group needs to have an influence on those who've just been saved. The Bible said they're like newborn babes that desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow thereby. And then we see that some are saved and Spirit-filled, and then there's some that's not. I'm grateful today that God allows us to be filled with the Spirit of God, that we can preach in His power, we can walk in His power, we can serve in His power. And then you've got some that aren't even saved. Yes, I believe today that there's churches that people attend, and they've really never been born again. I'd say to you today, just stop right here and think. I believe if you're saved, you'll know the day, you'll know the time where you were saved. You may not know the day, you may not know the hour, but I believe if a person is truly born again, they can tell you the time that they got saved. They can tell you about it. If you can't tell me a time that you got saved, I'm not questioning if you did it and it's in your heart and you know what you did and you just can't tell. I don't know, but I believe this. If a person is saved, you'll know you're saved. You'll know that you've trusted Christ as your Savior. And so this is no way around diversity. We need to be diverse. We need to be picking up people. We need to be giving the gospel out. We need to be witnessing, passing out tracts. But it's God's will for every single saint of God to be filled with the Spirit of God. That's what God desires. It's an imperative mode. To be filled means to be controlled. That verse I mentioned a while ago, be not drunk with wine, where's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. A drunk man is controlled by what he partakes of. A spiritual person is controlled by what he partakes of if he partakes of the Spirit of God that indwells him. Then fourthly, lastly, we need to be united in performance. In verse number 2, chapter 2, verse 4b, I want you to notice, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them others. They were all filled and began to speak. I know today some people maybe don't speak, don't feel comfortable speaking. And I believe that you can still be a soul winner. You can go with somebody that can. But a lot of people don't feel comfortable with it. But I believe we're filled with the Spirit of God. We'll have no problem speaking the Word of God. I believe we don't mind telling people that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. God saved. Listen, and again, I want you to understand this morning, God saved no one to sit down in the pew and just wait for Jesus to come. God saved us to serve Him. And we need to serve Him until He does come. A faith that won't work might not be so real. Because the Bible said, faith without works is dead. And I say today, if we have faith enough in God to be filled with the Spirit of God, God's called us. And again, please understand me. I know we're all in different stages. I can't do what I used to do. Many of you can't do what you used to do. But you can do what you can do. And I believe some of the greatest Christians in the world is some of the people in the nursing homes that are praying right now for me while I'm preaching, are praying for people that they know that are sick. That's one of the greatest ministries you can have. And friend, I believe today with all my heart, if we spent more time on our face in prayer, we would see God fill us, Give us the power that he'd have us to have. No task is unimportant or small. Makes no difference if you're just a prayer warrior. Praise the Lord for you. Maybe that God's given you a gift of other things and able to do it. I think in the Bible of Hur in Exodus 17, Bezalel in Exodus 31, the psalmist in chapter 84, verse 10. You can be a prayer warrior. You can be a witness. Somebody said, don't do good witnessing, but you still pass out tracts. We got plenty of tracts. We want people passing them out. We can be workers like we had yesterday. Teachers. Choir members. In fact, you know, we were fine. We did okay this morning. We got through it. But we did have some people out today. And it may cause a little hiccup, and I'm glad there's people that we could try to step in and do what needs to be done. But friend, when we're all together, it runs smooth as a good running sewing machine, because we'll be working together and doing what God would have us to do. Don't ever think that God can't use you, because he can. There's missionaries that love to get a letter from people in the church. There's missionaries that would love to be encouraged along the way, and you could do that. Our shut-ins, we got a shut-in list on the table out there, all the addresses. Send them a card. Write them a note. There's somebody. Yesterday, I went to two houses and gave food, and they were both ecstatic that we thought about them yesterday. And it wasn't just me thinking about it, but it was the people here getting together. I just took it to them. One lady, she said, I just have to hug your neck. And I said, that'll be fine. You go ahead. But friend, there's people today that just need to see somebody every now and then. Thank the Lord we've got some ladies that have been going and visiting some of the ladies. But no job is too small. Let me ask you the question this morning. In light of revival starting the end of this month, are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you in the place that you believe you could say, God is pleased with me today? I'm ready for revival. I don't know that anybody could say that. I surely can't say that. I got to get more ready. That's why I'm turning my attention for these next few weeks on the matter of revival. But are you doing all that you can do? You see, we need to be busy doing what the Lord's called us to do. And we need to do the best we can. What we need is another Pentecost. United in purpose, united in prayer, united in power, united in performance. It will come when we walk together in one accord. The Bible said, can two walk together except they be agreed? No. Vance Hadmer said this. This is a powerful quote. Not mine, Vance Hadmer's. Snowflakes are fragile things, but when they stick together, they can stop traffic. Think about that. Snowflakes are a fragile thing, but when they stick together, they can stop traffic. And friend, when God's people stick together, we can move mountains through the power, the strength, and the faith of God. Will you? And again, I understand, and I understand people can't drive at night, and I understand that. But I tell you, if you're able and capable, I would encourage you to be for the revival, to all the meetings you possibly can. In fact, all of them, if you can. And not let nothing sidetrack you or take you away. Because this is our church. This is God's church. But if you want God's church to have revival, you have to be willing to have revival yourself. It may be sacrificing something, but whatever it is, you need to do it for His honor and His glory.